her at all. His eyes narrowed. Maybe she's not even mine. Oh, please, you kept me shackled to the house. Who would I have had an affair with? Strength seeped from her bones and into the cold stone beneath her. What was the use? He always won. He was bigger, stronger, smarter. She lay still and stared up at him. With tears blurring his face in her vision, she could almost imagine he wasn't the monster she thought he was. Maybe everything was her fault. If she'd been a better wife, with a gentler, more submissive spirit, their lives wouldn't be in this mess. What do you want from me, Reese? I gave you all I had and you trampled it. He brushed his lips across hers.
I want you to be a good wife, Hannah.
To put me first, like you should. I want us to grow old together, to raise our little girl to be a good, obedient woman. Think you can do that? He released her arms and lifted his weight from her, but continued to loom over her body. His stare seemed to prod into her soul as he searched for the truth in her face. She breathed in courage. She reached up her hands and cupped his cheeks in her palms. I'm sorry I hurt you, she whispered. It was such a shock. All those wasted years. Tears slid from the corners of her eyes and ran down to soak the hair at her temples. We could have had this time with her and with each other, Reese. I would never put her first. I know it frightened you, but you always came first with me. The hard stare of his gaze softened.
Ah, Hannah, that's all I ever wanted, for someone to love me and put me first. You don't know what it was like to grow up knowing no one really cared.
I'm sorry, Reese. You never talked about it.
It hurt too much,
he admitted. She put on a stern expression. I am your wife. I'm here for you to share those things with me. Don't keep anything from me again.
We'll have lots of time together, the three of us.
His lips brushed hers again. Before she could react, he rolled off her and got up. He held out his hand to her and hoisted her to her feet.
I think our daughter is awake. But then, who wouldn't be with the way you were yelling?
He wrapped a curl of her hair around his finger. Hannah's insides trembled, but she didn't dare show how he terrified her. She smiled up at him until he released her hair. Then she let go of his hand and turned back to the cot. Caitlin sat with her small feet dangling over the edge of the mattress. Her eyes were round and fearful, and her lips trembled. She twisted her hands in her lap. Don't be scared, honey, Hannah said. She approached the bed and knelt in front of the little girl. I won't let anyone hurt you. Caitlin touched Hannah's hair. You have hair like mine. I've never seen anyone with hair like mine. Daddy says it's fairy hair.
Hannah managed a smile.
Maybe he's right. My name is Hannah. I'm Caitlin Beitler. My daddy is a sheriff's detective. He'll be mad that bad man took me. She pointed at Reese. Can you take me home now? Soon,
she whispered too softly for him to hear. She craned her neck to face Reese.
Take off the chain. Give me the key and I'll let her go.
He shrugged. Just make sure she doesn't bolt. I don't want to have to hurt her.
He dug into his pocket and found a small key that he dangled in the air above her head.
Say please.
Please, Reese. She made a grab for the key and missed. He laughed. Forcing a smile, she grabbed his forearm. You're such a tease. Hand it over.
He grinned at her sweet tone and dropped the key into her hand.
Thanks.
She stabbed the key into the lock and had Caitlin free in moments. Lifting the child in her arms, she relished the weight of her, the smell of her, even through the stink of wet mud. Caitlin's long hair brushed against Hannah's arms and mingled with her hair. It was hard to tell whose locks were whose. Caitlin looped her arms around Hannah's neck, and the trust in the movement nearly buckled Hannah's knees. She sank onto the cot and held the child close. She would never let her go, never, and she'd kill anyone who tried to take her.
25. A pure white quilt with excellent stitching is always prized. My mother was a master of the quilt, and she told me white was her way of imagining heaven. The Amish strive to lead pure and holy lives in order to reach God. Hannah Schwartz in The Amish Faith Through Their Quilts.
His grandmother had to know something. It all made a kind of weird sense. Matt gripped the steering wheel and gunned the SUV through the water standing on the road. Ajax whined in the seat behind him. How could Caitlin have disappeared the minute Trudy got her, unless she had called Reese to come get her? He skidded to a halt in front of the house. He and Ajax went to the front door. He didn't knock.
Trudy?
He called, stepping inside. The house was empty. Silent. Now that he thought about it, he hadn't seen her vehicle outside. Sometimes she kept it in the backyard. He walked through the house to the back door. Glancing through the window, he saw no sign of his grandmother's old blue car. Maybe she went to the grocery store, he muttered. Ajax woofed as though he understood what Matt said. He wandered down the hall toward Trudy's bedroom. Irene had told him to ask Trudy about what had happened between them. How could that matter? He glanced around Trudy's bedroom. Austere, with white walls and bedding, it was immaculate. A prominent wardrobe stood in one corner, one he'd never peeked inside. Maybe now was the time. He stepped to the wardrobe and opened the doors. Stacks of quilts were inside. He pulled one out. It had a hummingbird pattern on it. Could they be Patricia Schwartz's quilts? What would Trudy be doing with them? They certainly resembled the ones he'd seen. A large family album caught his eye. Matt carried it into the kitchen under the light and set it on the counter. Irene had hinted that the seeds of this situation were in the past. Maybe this album would give him some clue. He started at the front. The first black-and-white picture showed a young couple staring stiffly into the camera. He recognized Trudy. He assumed the man was his grandfather, though Matt had never seen him. He flipped through more pages and saw his father and Irene at various ages. He'd never realized he looked so much like his dad. He'd studied these pictures later. Right now, he had to find his daughter. There had to be something here. He turned a page and stopped at a picture of Irene. Hannah had been right. His aunt was clearly pregnant. She looked as though she was ready to give birth any minute. On the next page, the pictures continued as though her pregnancy had never occurred. He studied the previous picture. From the clothing and hairstyle, Matt guessed the date to be in the early 70s. She still wore the long hair and caftan of her hippie days. He studied the location. The setting looked familiar to him, but he couldn't put his finger on where it was. Billy Creek, maybe? Matt tried to remember what his aunt had said about where her commune had been. "Sugar Creek," he said, snapping his fingers. "That's what Irene said. But where? It would be a place to look. Maybe Reese knew about the place." Matt turned a few more pages and came to another picture, taken by the Big Creek, which more accurately was as big as a river. He studied one of the women in the photograph. She had the look of Hannah. But the clothing was all wrong. This picture would have been snapped before she was born. Maybe Hannah's mom? He studied the other couple in the picture. Irene and an Amish guy. Must have been Hannah's dad on his Rumspringa. The two sets were clearly paired up by the way they stood. It looked like his dad was seeing Hannah's mom. He'd never heard that before. He thought back to the arguments in the house before his dad killed himself. It seemed his mom was always unhappy with how much time Dad spent in the barn and away at the greenhouse. Could it have been the Schwartz greenhouse? "This is a weird tangle," he muttered. Ajax whined at the stress in his voice, and Matt rubbed the dog's ears. Maybe Reese gave the quilts to his grandmother, and she'd been covering for him. Maybe she'd even handed Caitlin over to him. He flipped through more pages of the album and stopped beside a newspaper clipping of his grandmother in her mid to late 40s. She was standing with a proud smile beside a white quilt. The caption read, "Trudy Beitler takes first place at the state fair with her hummingbird quilt." Matt carried the album into the light so he could see the quilt better. It looked exactly like the pattern Hannah's mother was famous for. Had she imitated Trudy's pattern and found even more success with it? Was that part of the reason for his grandmother's hatred of the Amish? He heard a vehicle in the back and rushed to look out the window. His grandmother's old car was rolling over the ruts. He started toward the door, but Trudy got out, grabbed a cooler, and hopped back into the vehicle again. What was she doing? He decided not to let her know what he'd seen just yet. He'd follow her and see if she led him to Reese and Caitlin. Matt grabbed the photo album and ran for the SUV. Her car had rumbled away down the back lane, which meandered across an abandoned covered bridge. Where could she be heading? He waited until his grandmother's old car disappeared into the trees, then set out along the lane in the direction she'd gone. There wasn't much out this way. Forest and steep hills. No real roads, even. The land bordered Turkey Run State Park, and his grandmother had turned away every developer who'd come calling. He had time to ensure he wasn't seen. Trudy owned nearly 500 acres out this way. He used to hike back here, until she found out. She didn't like anyone back here but her, and even then, he could count on one hand the times he'd seen her trek this way. The SUV rumbled over the bridge, but he wasn't sure the old structure would hold up anything coming back. The thing was falling down. If Trudy wanted to keep it, she'd have to do some repair. Rather, he'd have to do some repair. He came to a fork in the road. "Now which way?" he said to Ajax. The dog whined. Matt got out and looked at the muddy track. "That way," he said, pointing to the left, toward the creek. Matt got back in the SUV and turned the vehicle onto an even narrower lane, logged with water. He was surprised his grandmother had the nerve to drive this way by herself in a car. The route begged for a four-wheel drive. She could get stuck back here and never be seen again. The trees encased Matt like a tunnel. The maples and walnut trees grew so high they met above the SUV and turned the landscape to twilight. He could only go 5 miles an hour without bottoming out. The road, if you could call it that, came to an abrupt end. Trudy's battered blue car was parked just ahead. She wasn't in it. Matt peered inside the vehicle, then turned back to his SUV and let Ajax out. He took the dog to the driver's side of Trudy's car. "Find her, boy." The dog's nose plunged toward the ground, and his tail began to wag. The jerk on the leash nearly toppled Matt, but he regained his footing and followed along with Ajax on his run to the south. The surroundings were as dark as if it were 9 o'clock at night. The mosquitoes began to descend in hordes, and he wished he'd taken the time to put on some repellent. The dog led him down ravines, and they splashed across creeks swollen with rain. "I don't know how she had the strength to go this far," Matt said, panting when they paused to catch their breath. Ajax was straining at the leash again, so they were probably close behind her. "Let's get our bearings before we go any farther." Sunlight filtered through the dirty windows of the old shack. Hannah sat on the cot with Caitlin on her lap. The creek outside had crescendoed to a roar, and vibrations of water hitting rock rattled the wooden structure. "When are we leaving, Reese?" she asked.
"Soon."
He seemed nervous, checking his watch every few seconds and going to look out the window. Hannah wondered what he was waiting for. He had her and Caitlin, and there seemed no reason to hang around while the floodwaters rose. Though this old place had been here for years, the forecasters had warned of near-record flood conditions all over the county. Hanging around Sugar Creek seemed a stupid thing to do. She rose with her daughter in her arms. "Let's go now. I'm hungry, and I'm sure Caitlin is, too." His eyes narrowed.
"What about me? I haven't eaten either. You never think about me, Hannah."
"I'm sorry to complain. I know we're all tired and hungry and grouchy." She smiled up at him. "I'm just eager to get out of here and start our life together, the three of us." His glare softened.
"Soon."
He turned when the door opened. Trudy Beitler stepped into the shack. She shut the door behind her. Mud caked the Wellington boots she wore, and debris littered her old jeans and checked shirt. She could have passed for a lumberjack except for the long gray braid hanging over one shoulder. Her gaze perused Reese, then moved on to Hannah, who stood with Caitlin wrapped around her like a little monkey.
"Grandma Trudy!"
Caitlin unwound her legs from Hannah and slid down to run to her grandmother. Trudy shoved her away.
"Go back to your mother."
"Come here, Caitlin." Hannah held out her arms. The older woman wasn't here to rescue them. Hannah didn't know how this whole plan was going to play out, but she realized Trudy was no ally. Her expression confused, Caitlin glanced back at Hannah, then up at her grandmother.
Are you going to take me home, Grandma?
I told you to go to your mother.
No, I'm not taking you home. You're right where you should be.
She dropped the small cooler she carried onto the wooden floor.
Where were you? Reese asked. I did what you said and brought Hannah here. I thought you'd be here to say goodbye. I need to get going before Matt tracks us here.
I think not. Sit.
She pointed at the cot.
You've done well, Reese, she said. You did everything I asked of you.
Thanks for helping me figure this out, Trudy, but I didn't need the kid after all. Hannah came back to me of her own free will.
His triumphant smile beamed from above his beard. Trudy glanced at Hannah, and the chill in her gaze froze Hannah's veins.
I need you to run an errand, Reese. I forgot the money at the house. It's in the cookie jar, on top of the refrigerator.
I've got enough. I don't need it, he said.
I want to make sure you have enough for a fresh start. Run, get it. And then you can disappear. It won't take long.
Hannah didn't trust the other woman. She wanted to beg Reese not to leave her alone with Trudy, but he shrugged and went to the door.
I won't be long.
Trudy nodded. I'll be here waiting. Silence stretched out in the sugar shack. Hannah tried to make sense of it all. Why would Trudy help Reese get Caitlin and lure her here? They were atop a hillside, so Matt planted one foot on a fallen tree and stared through the gloom in all directions. He caught a break in the trees.
I think there's a cabin over there, he said to Ajax.
He took out his topo map and consulted it. The map said there was an abandoned sugar shack this way.
Let's check it out.
Matt and Ajax plunged down the hillside.
Quiet, Ajax,
he told his dog. He didn't want any barking to give them away. As they neared the structure, he recognized it from the pictures in Trudy's album. He started toward a window, intending to peer inside and see if Trudy was there, but the door opened and Reese stepped out. Matt ducked out of sight, watching as the other man went up the trail toward where Trudy had parked the car. Great. Maybe Matt could slip in and rescue his daughter and Hannah without any gunplay. When Reese was out of sight, he rose and moved toward the shack. The door opened again, and his grandmother stepped out. With a gun. His gaze went to the weapon in her hand. It was pointing at him.
It's just me, Trudy. You can put that pea shooter away.
I don't think I can, Matthew. Ease your gun out and drop it on the ground.
The hard, inflexible voice she used struck Matt in the heart.
Trudy, what are you doing?
Her finger tightened on the trigger.
Do what you're told.
You're too much like your mother, always questioning things. Next time I'll shoot out your kneecap. Now do what I say.
Matt struggled to make sense of this world gone mad. His grandmother held him at gunpoint. He'd stepped through a rabbit hole into another dimension. He glanced down at Ajax. Would he obey an attack command? Probably not. The dog had been trained to protect his grandmother, not attack her.
Drop your gun, she said again. And if the dog moves, I'll shoot him.
Matt pulled out his gun and dropped it into the mud.
What's this all about?
Trudy stepped away from the door and gestured with the gun.
Inside.
Matt let his contempt show in his eyes. He strode into the shack and stood in the doorway while his eyes adjusted to the dim light. Ajax trotted close behind him.
Daddy!
He swung toward his daughter's voice. He'd never heard such a sweet sound as her voice in that moment.
Caitlin?
Moments later, she was climbing his legs. He swung her up against his chest, and she clasped her arms around his neck. Ajax barked and danced around them as if he wanted his turn with her.
Quiet, Ajax.
The dog stilled and lay down under the window.
I knew you'd find me, Daddy.
He buried his face in her hair and fought the sting of tears.
You okay, Princess?
I want to go home.
Caitlin began to cry.
We will.
He glanced around and saw Hannah on the cot. He turned to face Trudy.
What's going on here?
It's the final act in a long play, Matthew. I'm sorry you got caught up in it.
Trudy beckoned to Hannah.
I can't let her continue the Schwartz tradition of destroying my family. Come here, girl.
Hannah's eyes widened, but she got up and moved slowly to where Trudy stood.
Tie up my grandson.
Matt couldn't let that happen. He'd be helpless to protect his daughter and Hannah. Backing away, he started for the door. Trudy wouldn't shoot him. Before he got more than 2 feet, a shot rang out, and a bullet creased the skin on his arm.
"I don't want to shoot you, Matt, but I will, if you force me to,"
Trudy said.
"Sit in the chair."
She gestured to a rickety wooden chair. Blood trickled from his arm. He lowered himself onto the chair.
"What is going on, Trudy?" "Shut up. Hannah, tie him up."
Hannah bit her lip, then picked up the rope on the floor and moved to the chair. She began to wrap the rope around his wrists.
"Get his ankles, too," Trudy ordered. "I'm going to check the bond, so get them tight."
Matt flexed his wrist to give himself the most give as Hannah tightened the rope, then looped it down to his feet. Trudy stepped over to test the give, and he kept his muscles flexed until she nodded with satisfaction. She turned back to Hannah.
"You, come with me. Leave the kid here with Matt."
Hannah glanced up at Matt with an apology in her eyes. Matt had to delay Trudy until he could get free.
"I found a photo album. Some things are starting to make sense to me. My parents were never happy. All I remember as a kid was how unhappy my mom was. Dad never smiled. He killed himself. I think he was in love with Hannah's mother, but that's not Hannah's fault.
Her family has blighted mine for decades, but no more," Trudy said.
Hannah was frowning.
"What are you saying?"
she asked Matt.
"I thought my dad dated your aunt."
Matt kept talking, straining at his bonds the whole time. Was there a bit of give?
"There once were four friends. They all met in town where they worked together at a local cafe. Patricia and David, your mom and dad, were dating. Irene had a crush on the Amish boy, your dad, Abe, and the four of them double-dated. Your grandparents probably didn't like that, but it was Abe's rumspringa, and they hoped he would grow out of it. But something went very wrong. Abe fell for Patricia and stole her from David. David never got over the loss, even though he married. The marriage was unhappy, and he eventually took his own life."
"Did I get that all right, Trudy?"
"Shut up!"
Trudy grabbed Hannah's arm and dragged her toward the door.
"Patricia was a cuckoo in our nest,
and so is her daughter. You're just like her, batting your eyes and enticing men into your web. First Reese, and now Matthew. I won't allow it to continue."
Hannah managed to tug her arm free.
"Did you kill my parents?"
Her eyes grew round with horror.
"Of course I did. You didn't think I would let them get away with destroying my family, did you? Hannah here told Irene her mother was finally pregnant again. That was the final straw. Patricia didn't deserve a child after all she'd done. Then Hannah took my first grandson and ruined his life. She has to pay.
Irene is Reese's mother," Hannah said.
Trudy scowled.
"How did you know that?"
Hannah went pale. "I ran into Ellen Long today. She mentioned it."
"Who's his father?"
Matt asked. He saw horror dawn on Hannah's face. Trudy laughed.
"It's not Abe, if that's what you're thinking. I would have stopped that soon enough. It's some loser who stayed at their commune a few months, then moved on. Irene had a nervous breakdown, so I took him."
"I thought he was a foster kid."
She waved the gun in the air.
"A smoke screen."
"What about Cyrus?"
Hannah answered.
"I think he was just a dupe. His wife was having an affair with Reese. I'm guessing Reese mixed poison in with the sugar, then asked him to make cookies and deliver them to my parents when he went to pick out a quilt. The trail would lead back to the bakery, and it would look like he got caught up in his own murder plot."
Trudy squinted at her.
"That Ellen is..."
Hannah backed away from Trudy.
"Why did you take my mother's quilts?"
"Jealousy,"
Matt answered. "I saw a picture of you, Trudy. You were beside a quilt that looked like Patricia's famous hummingbird quilt. She imitated your pattern and had more success than you ever dreamed of."
"All because she was Amish,"
Trudy spat. She grabbed Hannah again and dragged her to the door. "But it all ends today." She pulled her captive through the door and closed it behind them. Matt began to strain at his bonds. They didn't give much, but he had to get free. Wrenching and twisting his wrists, he stretched and moved the rope until he began to feel a bit of give, but it still wasn't enough to slip his hands free. "Caitlin,
Come here. I need your help."
He could only pray his daughter had enough strength to loosen his bonds. When she was at his side, he instructed her to find the end of the rope and trace it back to the knot, then try to push the end through. She wasn't accomplishing much. Finally, 5 minutes later, he felt it give, and his hands began to pull free. The mosquitoes came in hordes, eager for their blood. Hannah could see the same bloodthirsty intent on Trudy's face. Trudy marched her down a muddy path toward the raging creek, 50 feet across at its widest point. The current had torn trees up by the roots, and giant sycamores rode the dirty waves in the churning water. The swollen creek had nearly reached 2 beached canoes. They skirted the water, and Trudy turned toward a small path that circled back toward the shack. An open cistern yawned in front of them, obviously just uncovered. It was about 4 feet in diameter. She stopped in front of the open hole.
"Time to say goodbye, Hannah."
Hannah froze. What could she do? She cast her gaze back and forth across the area, but there was no place to hide. Trudy raised the gun, and Hannah expected the bullet to plow through her any second.
"Trudy, no!"
Reese's shout rang out through the trees. Hannah saw him rushing up the path toward them, his eyes wild and his face white. He was not the savior she had hoped for. He carried a gun in his hand. Trudy turned toward her grandson, her scowl deepening. He reached them and stopped by his grandmother.
"You said we could leave, go our way. Hannah came back to me of her own free will. She had nothing to do with her parents' sins. You promised you'd help me get her back. You never said anything about killing her."
Trudy slapped him.
"You fool. She's got you totally flummoxed. Can't you see? She only came because she was sure you had the brat."
Reese put his hand to his cheek.
"You didn't have to do that."
"Do what I say, Reese. I've been working years for this minute."
Over Reese's shoulder, Hannah saw Matt and Ajax running up the path. She didn't see Caitlin, so she prayed the little girl was on her way to safety. Trudy must have seen the expression on her face because she turned to look. She pressed her lips together and raised the gun to point it at Hannah.
"If either one of you move, she's dead."
She pointed to the hole.
"You've been looking for your mother, Matthew. Come say hello."
Matt came toward them, clenching his fists.
"You killed my mother?"
His face took on a stricken expression.
"She killed my son."
"No, she didn't. He killed himself."
"Because she wasn't the wife he needed,"
Trudy spat. Matt couldn't engage that kind of irrational thinking.
"You had Reese hire that woman to pose as my mother, just so I wouldn't look anymore, right? Did you think just any woman would pass for my mother? I remember her too well to fall for that masquerade."
Trudy waved her hand.
"Hannah is about to join her. She can give her your greetings."
26. There have been cases of prejudice against the Amish in some communities. They are the perfect targets for hate crimes because they don't fight back. They are peace-loving and gentle. Hannah Schwartz on The Early Show. Trudy gestured with a gun again.
"Would you like to say hello to your mother, Matt? She's right down there if you'd like to stop in for a visit."
"Stop it," Hannah shouted. "Just stop being such a cruel witch." Trudy's brows raised.
"The mouse roars?"
This was where bitterness led. Hannah got it now. Forgiveness was much more beautiful when contrasted with this vengeful woman. How had she been so blind? She found it hard to look away from that twisted mouth, those eyes filled with hatred and judgment. Had she looked like that to Ellen earlier today? Is this what Reese saw when he looked in her face?
"Why, Trudy? Why all this hatred to people who never even hurt you? What did Mo ever do to warrant death?"
"That was his own fault. The flowers were meant for his mother."
Trudy glared at Reese.
"My aunt was a wonderful woman," Hannah said. As long as she could keep Trudy talking, they might have a chance of being rescued. "She was a busybody. She came to see me after your parents' funeral, all the way in her little buggy, as if I would be impressed. She told me she'd seen Reese coming out of Ellen's house when Cyrus wasn't there. She suspected Reese was a killer, and came to tell me to be careful of him. Trudy smiled. She didn't tell the police. She wanted to leave justice in God's hands. And of course, she had no idea you were involved, Hannah said slowly. When Reese told me what he'd done to lure you back here, I knew Nora would have to die. She wouldn't keep that information to herself. She glanced up at Reese as though seeking his approval. I put you first in everything.
She never told me. You didn't have to kill her.
She would have. Trudy's voice was matter-of-fact. Shoot her, Reese. You need to do it to be rid of her in spirit.
Reese shook his head and dropped the hand with the gun to his side, but she seized his arm. Her voice rose, and even the wind didn't drown it out.
If it hadn't been for me, you would have been out on the streets, Reese. We're in this together too far for you to back out now. It has to be done.
Let me keep Hannah.
His voice was weak and pleading.
You're so weak, boy. Would you fight me again? Want to knock me down like you did when you first got back? You're pitiful.
Hannah's gaze went to Matt, and she saw from his expression that he had heard Reese, too. His nostrils flared, and his lips thinned. She could see his coiled muscles waiting to spring into action. They weren't going down without a fight.
You've got my gun, Matt said. This time, use it for a good purpose. Save Hannah and Caitlin.
Shut up, Matthew.
Trudy transferred her glare from Matt to Reese.
Reese, you'll do what I say.
Trudy finally seemed to badger Reese into submission. He brought the gun up and aimed it at Matt.
I'll put your gun to good use, all right. You want to go first, big guy? See your mother?
Hannah stepped in front of Matt. Let's leave now, Reese. Just go away, you and me. Matt can keep Caitlin. That's all she knows anyway.
She didn't think Reese would be able to shoot her. He never destroyed his possessions.
Matt made a grab for her to shove her out of the way, but she evaded him and began to walk toward Reese.
You don't have to listen to her, Reese. Look at me. Let's leave here. Start a new life. You'll never have to see her again. Reese, we have to end it here,
Trudy said, her voice steely and commanding.
She'll never stay with you. You know that. She's sacrificing herself for her daughter. I'd shoot her myself, but you need to do it or she will always haunt you.
The tremble in Reese's hand was nearly imperceptible, but Hannah caught the slight movement. She sidled closer to her husband. She had to find the courage to forgive him, truly and from the heart. He would only recognize truth. She reached into the depths of her soul and found the courage.
I forgive you, Reese. I forgive you for every slap, every harsh word.
She was shocked to realize she meant it. She could look at him and see past his brutality to his pain. She'd never dreamed it would be possible to give him grace. There was no way she'd be able to get the gun out of his hand, but he might leave with her. If he'd laid down the gun and let Matt and Caitlin go, she'd honor her promise. It would be a small price to pay for the life of her daughter and the man she loved. Trudy never gave her the chance to find out.
You're so weak, Reese. I even have to save you from yourself.
She brought up her gun and aimed it at Hannah.
You're just like your mother, a user.
Her finger tightened on the trigger.
She ruined everything that ever mattered to me.
Hannah stared down the bore of the revolver. The muscles in her legs coiled to spring away, but she knew at this close range she had little chance of escaping. Before she could make the leap to death or life, Reese turned toward his grandmother. Everything moved as though in slow motion. Hannah heard him shout Trudy's name. She saw the puff of smoke and heard the gun bark in his hand. The revolver recoiled, and Trudy began to fall. Matt hurtled past Hannah.
Run!
He shouted, tackling Reese. He bored the other man to the ground.
Get Caitlin from the shack.
Ajax barked and danced around the struggling men. Hannah rushed away. Her gut told her to stay and help Matt, but Caitlin was depending on her. She darted down the path toward the shack, but before she got there, Caitlin stepped in front of her. The little girl saw her and ran toward her. She was crying. Hannah grabbed her hand. She heard a shot ring out in the trees. Daring a glance back, she saw Reese stagger toward her, brandishing his revolver.
His presence cut off their escape that way. The water was the only way out. Hannah raced toward the creek. She was an expert at canoeing, but with Sugar Creek so turbulent, it would be dangerous. Matt couldn't be dead. She wouldn't believe that. If she could get to town, she could send back help. If only she had her cell phone. But Reese threw it away. She deposited Caitlin into the bottom of a canoe. "Don't move," she said. As soon as the end of the canoe hit the water, the current grabbed it. She nearly didn't make it into the canoe herself before the water flung the vessel into the middle of the creek. Too late, she realized how hard the waves would be to navigate. Caitlin sat on the bottom of the canoe. "There's a life vest under the seat. Put it on," she called to her daughter. Caitlin grabbed the vest and slipped her arms into it. Hannah glanced behind to find Reese in the other boat, coming after them. In the back of the canoe, Hannah dipped the oar into the water and used it to try to steer the vessel around the worst of the rapids. If she could guide them around this bend toward land and hide the boat, Reese would go on downstream looking for them. A covered bridge loomed ahead. The water tore at the underpinnings, and the bridge began to bob. Her gaze searched frantically for a way through. If they hit the bridge, they'd be capsized. A small gap in the side near the south bank caught her eye, and she aimed for it. The rapids intensified as she neared the bridge. The churning water smelled of mud and dying vegetation. The swiftly flowing water raised the canoe as if taking aim for the gap. With one final heave, the canoe hurtled for the spot and flew into the bridge, which had now come loose from its grip on the land. The canoe skidded across the planks and came to a stop. The bridge swirled in the water, and waves licked over the side. "We've got to try to crawl to shore," Hannah shouted. Caitlin nodded and began to crawl on her hands and knees across the canoe toward the bridge floor. Hannah followed her and prayed. Pain purified the soul. If that was true, Matt figured he was nearly an angel. The gunshot wound felt like hot metal in his gut. His grandmother lay half in the cistern, but he spared no thought for her. He staggered in the direction Hannah and Caitlin had gone. Reese had Matt's gun and would catch them. He had to help. Ajax limped beside him. Matt could see blood on the dog's paw. Maybe he'd been shot as well. Matt stuffed his fist against the blood seeping from his stomach. Death might be calling his name, but he wasn't going out without a fight. He wouldn't leave Hannah and Caitlin defenseless. When he reached the water, he realized both canoes were gone. Hannah wouldn't have taken Caitlin out onto the water unless she'd had no choice. He clawed out his cell phone. Thank God he had a signal. He punched in 911 and called in the incident as he stumbled downstream in search of Hannah and his daughter. The dispatcher promised to get an EMT chopper out ASAP. He asked to have a vet standing by for Ajax. His vision faltered. Barely aware of his surroundings, he kept going. Was that a canoe up ahead? Before he could decide what he'd seen, he stumbled to his knees, and he fell face down onto the mud. The roaring in his ears intensified, and darkness sucked him into a vortex that went down to a bottomless pit. The floodwaters roared their fury in her ears. The little girl scampered across the rough-hewn boards. She made the final leap across the water to shore before Hannah was fully out of the boat. Hannah crawled across the bridge floor after her daughter. She heard a crash and looked back to see Reese's canoe fly into the air and land upside down. What had happened to him? She crawled back to the end of the floating bridge closest to Reese and searched the water. The muddy water churned with flotsam, tree limbs, pieces of metal roofing, old tin cans, and car parts. Then Reese's head broke the surface and he gasped for air. "Hannah, help me." His arms flailed. He'd saved her from Trudy. She had to help him. Hannah searched for a branch to hold out to him. There, a loose one poked up from the mass of limbs and trees lodged against the bridge. She tugged it free and reached out to Reese. The desperation in his face made her lean too far, and she nearly toppled into the water with him. She tried again, flinging the end of the branch into his face. He grasped it in one hand, and she began to pull him toward the bridge. The nearer he got to her, the more the waves crashed over his head. At this rate, she would drown him. She pulled harder. A surge of water covered him again. Then he popped up several feet closer. He'd lost hold of the branch, but he managed to grab a limb that protruded from the blockage. His gaze on her, he began to crawl up onto the log jam at the base of the bridge. Hannah turned and sidled away from him, toward her daughter and safety. He could fend for himself now. Her conscience was clear. She reached the other end of the bridge. The gap between the bridge and the shore had widened. Could she make it? She coiled her muscles and sprang for the shore. Her outflung hand grasped a tree root, and she hauled herself up with it until she lay face forward in the mud. If she had the strength, she'd kiss the ground. Her vision darkened, and she fought to stay conscious. They weren't out of the woods yet, literally. She had to get Caitlin to safety and send back help for Matt. She became aware that Caitlin was shaking her and rolled her onto her back to stare up into the beautiful face of her baby girl. "Miss Hannah, the bad man is coming," Caitlin whispered. "You have to get up." Hannah managed to sit. Pain gripped her back, her legs. Blood ran from her knees from crawling along the rough logs. She bit back a groan. A sound behind her caught her attention, and she turned to see Reese standing on the collapsed bridge. The structure bucked like a wild thing and began to break apart. He wore a victorious grin that widened when he saw her watching him. "I'm coming, Hannah. Wait for me." "Run, Reese," Hannah screamed. "It's falling apart." She knew she should grab Caitlin and run as fast as they could, but she couldn't move, caught by the drama playing out in front of her. The surging water intensified as a new round of flotsam hit the bridge. The structure shuddered. Reese's victorious grin morphed into wild-eyed terror as the boards under his feet rolled. He tried to drop down and grab a board, but the thing bucked again. He flipped into the air and came down hard. Hannah heard something crack when he hit the beams. The next instant, the bridge splintered, and pieces of wood flew in all directions. Reese's hand flew up in a silent plea, then the debris rained down on him and he disappeared under the onslaught. Hannah sank to her knees and put her face in her hands. There was no way he could have survived that. She was free. She and Caitlin. Free to live their lives out from under his cruelty. But she ached for the man he might have been. And if not for Reese, she would lie in the cistern with Matt's mother. She staggered to her feet again. "We've got to find your daddy," she told Caitlin. They looked up to hear the whop-whop of a chopper overhead. How did the EMTs know where to find them? Her blood surged at the knowledge that Matt had to have called it in. She raced back along the bank with Caitlin, around the curve and through the mud with the creek roaring its triumph. She could see the shack in the distance. Then she heard Ajax barking. He sounded frantic, but weak, too, and her initial joy began to drain. Then she saw Matt, crumpled in the water. Ajax barked again, then took hold of the collar of Matt's shirt and tried to tug him from the water that sought to claim him. The dog was losing the battle. He looked battered and weak from the effort. Hannah put on a burst of speed and reached Matt's side. She grabbed him under the arms and, with Ajax's help, managed to get him out of the water's grasp. She rolled him onto his back and saw the awful wound in his belly. All the while, she waved her arms to flag down the chopper. She knew she was going to lose him. 27. Children are treasured by the Amish. They take however many children God chooses to give. They're never considered a burden. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. Hannah Schwartz in The Amish Faith Through Their Quilts. Equipment choked the room at the IU Med Center. Hannah sat close to the bed and watched the monitors. Not that she understood them, but if sheer force of will could keep Matt's vitals good, she would stare at the things until she went blind. Angie peeked in the door, and Hannah went to meet her. "Any change?" Anna asked. "No, he's still unconscious. Any new update from the doctors?" "They still say it will be a miracle if he pulls through." Hannah clutched her hands together. "How's Caitlin?" "Gina has her. She's asking for her daddy. I don't think she should see him like this." Hannah glanced back at the battered man in the bed. He hardly looked like the Matt she knew and loved.
"But what if he dies, Hannah? Wouldn't you want a chance to say goodbye if it were your daddy?"
The question hit Hannah hard.
She did wish she could have kissed her parents one last time, could have smelled her mother's hair to imprint it on her memory. She didn't have the right to keep Caitlin from her father. She resituated her grip on her hope. "I won't let him die." Angie put her hand on Hannah's cheek. "He's been shot in the stomach, girl. He's got liver damage, intestinal damage. You've got to face facts." "I'm facing facts. I know he's not going to die. Listen, I've got to get back to him." "What about Caitlin?" Somehow the thought of letting Caitlin see her daddy like this made Hannah grit her teeth. She would not give up. "Not yet," she said. "Maybe when he wakes up." Angie squeezed Hannah's arm. "I'll bring you a sandwich this evening. You want anything now?" "No, I'm not hungry." The thought of food made her shudder. She just wanted Matt to open his eyes and look at her with that gaze that told her he could swallow her whole. The expression that said he saw her, just as she was, warts and all, and loved what he saw. She'd just returned to the bed to take his hand when she heard another tap at the door jamb. This time the doorway crowded with Amish friends and family. Luca, Sarah, the bishop, cousins, friends, at least 20 people stood outside in the hallway. Hannah stepped to the door to greet them. "What's going on?" "We've come to pray for Matt," Luca said. "He's a good man, Hannah." She could hardly speak past the boulder in her throat. "Yes, yes he is," she managed. When she stepped to the side, the group filed into the room and surrounded the bed. When she joined them, they made room for her at Matt's side. She held his hand while her friends gathered round and stood in silent prayer. They had to have hired several drivers to bring them here. Even by car, Indianapolis was an hour away. She closed her eyes and prayed too, asking for forgiveness for all the bitterness she'd carried, for her unforgiving spirit. And she especially prayed for Matt. When she opened her eyes, only she and Matt remained in the room. The Amish had left as quietly as they'd come. She squeezed his hand. "Open your eyes, Matt." His lashes didn't move. The machines continued to hum and beep around her. She laid her head on the bed beside his hand. She was going to lose him, and she deserved that kind of loss. But Caitlin deserved more. What could she offer God in exchange for Matt's life? She would give her own happiness for his. Didn't God always demand a sacrifice? What better sacrifice than giving up her daughter? Raising her head, she stared at Matt's face. No change. Stepping into the hall, she pulled out her cell phone and called Angie, who tried to argue with her, then finally agreed to do what she wanted. "Hannah, don't go through with it." Angie paced the hall outside the hospital room. "I have to." Hannah scribbled her name on the paper and handed it to Gina, who stood watching them. "He wouldn't want you to do this," Gina said. She put the paper in her purse. "I don't understand." Gina looked drawn and exhausted. In addition to Matt's tenuous grip on life, her husband and Vanessa had been arrested for theft. The woman's pregnancy was a lie as well. Hannah squeezed Gina's hand. "He loves his daughter. She's his more than mine. I'd like to say goodbye, though. She's in the waiting room with Irene. I want to explain it to Matt. I'll be there in a few minutes." Hannah left them and went back to the room where he still lay unresponsive. After 3 days, the doctors held out little hope. His skin had begun to take on a yellowish cast. She couldn't delay much longer. She took his hand and brought it to her lips. "I love you, Matt. You've taught me so much about honor and unconditional love. I've signed Caitlin over to you. She's yours, free and clear." Her voice broke and she leaned closer to take one last whiff of his male scent, to brush her lips across his. "I've made a deal with God. We Amish believe in putting other people first. Sometimes I've forgotten that, but this time I'm going to do it right. I'm putting you and Caitlin first. I believe if I make this sacrifice, he'll let you live. I'm going to leave here and you'll never find me. Don't try, my love.
Something terrible might happen if you make me break my promise to God. I know you'll give our daughter a good life, a happy life." Her vision blurred, and she found it hard to keep going when all she wanted to do was bury her face in his neck and never leave. She wet her lips. "Goodbye, Matt. You deserve the best of what life has to offer. Be happy. I'll always love you." She pressed another kiss against his skin and turned to go before she could change her mind. She thought she heard something, so she stopped and looked back, but he looked just the same. Pale. Motionless. Dying unless she did something. Squaring her shoulders, she went out of the room and down the hall to the waiting room, where she stood for a moment and watched her daughter color. Caitlin sat at a child-sized red table and chair set. Was there ever such a beautiful child? Hannah thought not. So sweet and unassuming, too. Matt had done a wonderful job with her. She tore her gaze from her daughter and went to sit beside Irene and Gina. "I'll call in a couple of days and see how he is, if you don't mind."
"Of course,"
Gina said. Hannah glanced at Irene. "Did you know about your mother?" Irene sighed and rubbed her head.
"I suspected. Her bitterness grew after I had Reese and ended up in a sanitarium for 2 years. Then when David killed himself, she fell apart. It got harder and harder to be around her. I'd go over there, and all she'd talk about was how terrible all the Amish were and how the Schwartzes would get what they deserved someday. When their barn burned back in the late 70s, I suspected she had something to do with it. Then 10 years ago, when she heard Patricia was pregnant again, all her anger came spewing out. We had an argument, and we never spoke again." She looked up. "Bitterness is a terrible thing. It eats a person alive." She chewed on her lip. "The darkness comes sometimes, and even I can't fight it." She plucked something off her blouse. "It was nice getting to know you, Irene." She hugged the older woman, then held out her hand to Gina. "Thank you for taking care of my little girl. I'll call and check on her from time to time, if you don't mind. Maybe you could email me a picture once in a while."
"I'll do that." Gina embraced her. "I wish we'd had time to get to know one another better."
"Me too."
Blinking back the tears, Hannah put a smile on her face and stepped closer to her little girl.
"Hey, Caitlin, is that picture for Daddy?"
The little girl nodded without looking up.
"He loves princesses. I'm his number one princess."
"Of course you are. You're the most important thing in his life." Hannah touched her daughter's unruly hair, then knelt.
"I have to go away. Do you think I could have a hug?"
Caitlin put down the crayon and came willingly into Hannah's arms.
"Are you coming back?"
"No, honey, I'm not. I have to leave you here with your Aunt Gina. She'll take good care of you until your daddy is well, and he'll be well very soon."
"I thought you were my new mommy. Your hair is fairy hair like mine."
Caitlin's small fingers caressed Hannah's thick locks. Over Caitlin's shoulders, Hannah could see Gina, Irene, and Angie weeping. It took every ounce of strength Hannah possessed to give her daughter one last fierce hug, then turn her loose.
"I love you just as much as any mommy could love a little girl. I'll pray for you every day. You take care of your daddy, okay?"
Caitlin nodded.
"I always take care of him. We bake cookies. Chocolate chip are his favorite."
She went to her backpack and rummaged through it. Lifting out her doll, she carried the battered toy back to where Hannah stood.
"Will you take Jenny? I'll be busy taking care of Daddy, and she'll need a new mommy."
Tears flooded Hannah's eyes.
"I'd be honored to take care of her for you. Are you sure, sweetheart?"
Caitlin nodded.
"Don't let her forget me."
"I won't." Hannah couldn't take much more.
"You'd better finish your picture. Daddy will be awake soon, and you'll want to give it to him."
"Okay." Caitlin sat back down at the little table and bent her head.
"Breathe.
In and out." Hannah hugged Irene and Gina, then followed Angie out to the car.
"You didn't have to do this,"
Angie said, her tone fierce. But Hannah knew better. "Let's get out of here." she said. I need to go home and pack my stuff, get my cats.
But where are you going?
I'm not sure. Just away from the pain.
You'll keep in touch with me, won't you? I'll be working on publicity for the new book. The editor is really happy with it.
You have to promise not to give in to Matt's questions when he comes looking for me.
Hannah knew Matt. He'd look for her and keep looking, even though the letter she'd left explained everything and told him not to, even though she'd warned him.
I'll keep my mouth shut.
Though Angie sounded sulky, Hannah believed her.
Let's go.
They collected her cats and her belongings and headed to Milwaukee. Hannah had a plan, nebulous though it was. At least the challenge would give her something to think about instead of all she'd left behind. It would take hard work, but that's what she needed now. Something that left her too exhausted at night to remember a set of blue eyes that told her she was special.
28. The double wedding ring quilt has been loved by all generations. Amish weddings are most often held on Tuesday or Thursday. A surefire way to tell if a daughter is getting married is to check out the garden. An overabundance of celery signals upcoming nuptials. Hannah Schwartz in The Amish Faith Through Their Quilts. 6 months, 6 days, 3 hours since she'd left him. Matt leaned away from his computer at the sheriff's department and rubbed his eyes. Every spare moment when he wasn't working, he searched for Hannah. But she'd vanished without a ripple. How could she have disappeared so completely? She hadn't appeared on any TV shows or been featured in any magazines. Her publisher wouldn't divulge her address. Even with his contacts, he'd been stymied. Angie knew where she'd gone, but she wouldn't tell him. Meanwhile, her daughter was growing up without her mother, and he longed to see Hannah's face. Grabbing his winter coat, he stepped out into a driving snowstorm. The weatherman was talking about the worst blizzard in Indiana since 1978, and the storm had already dropped 6 inches of snow, with another 8 to 10 inches forecast. It was a good night for staying in and eating popcorn with Caitlin, but he wanted to drive to Milwaukee and force Angie to divulge Hannah's whereabouts. He managed to uncover his car and drove slowly through the clogged streets to his house. The snow in his shoes melted, freezing his feet by the time he got home. He let himself into the house and heard Gina's voice on the phone.
"Oh, Hannah, it's so good to hear from you," she said. "Caitlin is doing well. She started kindergarten, and she's reading already."
She fell silent while she listened. "I'll email you the picture from school. She's probably grown 2 inches since you've seen her."
Gina had kept this from Matt.
He'd had no idea she was still in contact with Hannah.
He stayed where he was, listening quietly for any clue, but nothing Gina said gave away any possible location. When she hung up the phone and turned around, she stopped and put her hand to her throat.
"Matt, you scared me."
"Have you been in touch with her ever since she left?"
He stepped closer and she backed away.
"Look, she didn't want you to know, okay?"
"Where is she, Gina? I have to find her."
He grabbed the phone from her and checked the caller ID, but the call had come in as unknown.
"She doesn't want to be found. And maybe she's right. The doctor said you were a goner. They were shocked when you made the turnaround the day she left."
"God doesn't make deals."
He turned and headed back to the office.
"Show me your emails."
"Matt, don't do this. Marriage isn't all it's cracked up to be anyway."
He stopped and grabbed her shoulders.
"Don't let your views about marriage keep me from being happy. I'm not Blake. I love Hannah, and I'm going to find her. Caitlin needs her too."
Her cheeks paled. "Do you blame me for being bitter? He was a thief, as well as an adulterer."
"You have your health. Me, your friends, you've still got good things in your life if you'll just accept them. Don't you want me to be happy, Gina? Are you afraid I won't need you if I'm married? That I'll toss you out of the house or something?"
The color came rushing back.
"That's a mean thing to say."
"Then help me find her."
He released her and stomped off to sit in front of the computer. Gina followed, more slowly.
"I've saved her emails."
She went to the Gmail sign-in screen and showed him the messages.
"I'm going to go check on supper."
He began to read through them. Hannah's emails were so much like her, caring and thoughtful. She often asked how Gina was dealing with her divorce and advised her about taking care of herself. Her concern showed through every message. He ached to see her, to touch her hair. How could she have left him like that? Didn't she realize how much he needed her?